Fellow Freedom fans, yes, it is. It is me, David Allen Carmichael, here on the Eagle 104.3 FM for the Liberty Works Radio Network. Love it if you give me a call, but you don't have to. I'm having fun. And, of course, people are driving along not wanting to burn up their cell phone time and also not wanting to get in a wreck on the road on this Faith and Freedom Day. Educational institutions currently have two ways to offer federal loans to their student. In the first, oh, by the way, if somebody can tell me where the federal loans to students pops up in the U.S. Constitution, please give me a call. Federal loans to students, where is it in the federal Constitution? Education in the federal Constitution? Where you can find that, please let me know. 888-850-1872. In the first, the federal family education loan, FEL, the government pays subsidies to banks and lenders to dole out money to borrowers. Now, I wonder about that, subsidies. And it reimburses companies up to 97% of the cost of any loan that is not paid back. Oh, by the way, you FEL loan programs, do you know you don't have to pay it back? I mean, is that what it's telling us? I don't know. Don't take my words as advice and not advice. I'm not advising anybody not to pay it back. It's just kind of interesting. 97% of the cost of the loan, but it's giving them a subsidy. So the government's actually paying a company when they give somebody a loan. That's really weird. I didn't know about that. The second option is a direct loan program created in 1993 as an alternate option in which a government cuts out the middleman, lends money directly, and gets all the profits. If the Student Aid and Fiscal Responsibility Act, SAFRA, passes both. Oh, this is a new thing. Okay, here comes the student martial law. Student Aid and Fiscal Responsibility passes both houses of Congress. The approximately 4,500 colleges. Ooh, look at this. The approximately 4,500 colleges and universities currently signed up for FEL will have to abandon the program and start using the direct loan option by July 1st, 2010. So the students will then no longer just be able to get a student loan from a bank. Well, you know what? You don't have to get a student loan. I know somebody did a private loan. Of course, it turned out that they had a student loan option, and they talked to the bank later and said, hey, how come you ripped my parents off? I mean, you knew you were ripping my parents off, charging 13% when you know it was a student loan that I could have gotten for 4% or something like that. So I heard that story just a couple of days ago, actually. But so I don't know what this is going to mean in the student martial law. I will tell you that I was chastised. My children were chastised when they didn't fill out their federal free aid for federal student aid thing. I don't know what it is. This FAFSA thing. And they were challenged, and we said, well, we're not eligible anyway. We don't participate in the Social Security program, because isn't this essentially a Social Security benefit? Because it's not something that comes out of the Constitution. It's extra governmental. They've just come up with this program, and you can opt into it. So I guess, you know, it's not unconstitutional if they're not forcing you into it. You know, they're just doing something. There's nothing saying the federal government can't come up with its own cockamamie scheme. And if you would like to participate in it, then, you know, by all means, go ahead and do it. I mean, if your conscience will allow you to do it. So I think there's a lot of things they're getting away with. And then everybody thinks it's mandate. But the federal law says the federal law might not apply to you unless you filled in the form. So, you know, that's kind of strange things we're dealing with. And that's something to think about. But my kids were chastised, yes. And I basically went back to the financial aid office, or I think it wasn't the business office. Business office just wants their money. The financial aid office is trying to, I don't know, they fill out some form or something like that. And they say, well, we can't process your, what do you call those, scholarships until you fill out this form. And I asked them, is the scholarship based on my child's performance, academic performance? Or is it based upon their financial status? Do you have a financial status scholarship? I don't think they even have a financial status scholarship. I know our kids hadn't applied for one. So why would they need to you know, go apply for a Social Security number and you know, and then fill out and ask for federal assistance? I don't know. you know, consider the kids. They consider their scholarship status with relationship to other people, and just act accordingly, you know, in good faith, and let the chips fall where they may. So that's, you know, and so I tell you what, it took having to go through three different semesters of battling that out till it was finally became kind of a no-brainer. And what it was is I sent a second student to the same school, and after a while they start to deal with it. But that's kind of strange. They're being compelled to get in on a federal program. As I told earlier, I have a family member who went to a bank and said, why are you applying for this federal, you know, this TARP thing? And they said, well, they're making us. She said, well, your stats here, you're in good shape. Why are you doing it? Oh, they're making us. How can they make you do something that's not something in the government's power to force? There's a lot of weird stuff going on here. And is it possible that you just merely have cowards in business and nobody who's really willing to stand up and say, no way, Jose? I don't know. There's a bank in my area who actually supposedly did that, actually told the federal government, keep out of our business. And hopefully they'll fare well in spite of it, right? It looks like here with this this new program, the SAFRA, just think about Saffron, right? SAFRA, Student Aid and Fiscal Responsibility Act, that government is basically going to take over student loans and become a business, a student loan business itself. If you think about it, what they're really doing is taking over banking. But if they've got a goofy program where they want to loan people money who maybe wouldn't be eligible for it, and it's kind of sick because if they're taxing people to take money from some to give to another as an exercise of religion. It's an exercise of love, but they're using the power of the sword to do it. But I think they're going to be taking it from people who are kind of in on the social welfare program in the first place. So I guess it's just part of a community love bank there. Sort of like if your church, if you put your reliance in something other than society, and let's just say you have a church or something that you go to, and then there's certain people within the church decide the church budget, and of course you all fellowship together, and so you let it do that. So it's sort of like a fellowship, isn't it? It's sort of like a voluntary fellowship, a societal social welfare benefit fellowship. And I guess if you're part of the fellowship, then that's really what they're doing. But they're making it so with the power of the sword that private companies, I guess what they're just doing is not backing up the banks, are they? So a bank can still give a loan and they can still compete with the federal government. And I'm not really sure. If you're an expert on student loans, of course, you can give us a call at 888-850-1872. It says the loan industry estimates that up to 35,000 jobs might be lost by this transfer from the FEL program to the government basically taking it over themselves, not really giving incentives to banks to make the loans, but actually taking it from the banks, stopping the subsidy program and basically providing the whole thing themselves. So somebody said it's going to cause a loss in jobs. And of course, the administration said, no, they'll just be kind of shifted in some other program. So that's kind of thing. So that's what's going on. Also, they got a little we have medical martial law and we have some student loan martial law. Now, a lot of you guys haven't thought about the weird things that I say. Again, I said this too on the air here. I actually broadcast live a group of students that had gone through a biblical worldview class, and they were homeschool students. And I asked them, well, what do they think? Is socialism good? Is it socialism bad? What's your opinion? Tell me why. What's the basis of your opinion? I was quite impressed that one girl hadn't gone through the class, had very much stronger opinions. And I think what happened, she just read the Bible. And the other kids went through the class and maybe it's just personalities. They didn't communicate too well. But I asked them, I said, is it good or bad? I mean, is it something you should be participating? Is that what America should be doing? And I said, how many of you going to college? They all raise their hand. I said, how many of you filled out the FAFSA form? They all raise their hand. I said, where's the money coming from? They looked at me kind of stupid, stupidly, okay? And I said, where's the money coming from? I said, is it not a social welfare program? Isn't that what that is? And they all looked really guilty, you know? So something to think about, folks. Now, I'm going to have some weird kids. I'm going to have four kids who are out in society who think they'll think like themselves, but they're going to have my influence. Oh, my goodness. Will that help society or will it hurt it? I don't know. With medical martial law, See, we're not going to have the national ID card to go around and get our medical assistance. It might be that doctors are going to have to be outlaws to give us medical services here in a very short period of time, because we're not going to have the identify, you know, prove you're not a criminal ID card in order to go to the doctor. And of course, we're going to go to the doctor and sell whatever we got to pay for it. But that's just something we do. In fact, I had to go to the doctor 2 weeks ago with my son, and we didn't have any money till the day we had to take him to the doctor. And it was like, oh, sick, over the weekend, Monday, I think we're going to have to go to the doctor, buddy. We'll keep an eye on you, but I think we're going to have to go have you checked out. And on Monday, I got money. It all worked out. You know, it's like our freedom comes in proportion to our faith. Okay, let's see. So if you have any ideas about that, somebody sent me an email, and I may end up reading it later today, and it was actually a kind of synopsis of the purpose of the Liberty Works Radio Network. So as I'm just rambling on here, I'm David Allen Carmichael. This is a Faith and Freedom Show. It's for the Liberty Works Radio Network. I'm going to read something here that was sent to me by the person who had the vision for this radio network. He said, the purpose of Liberty Works Radio Network is to reawaken Americans to the founding principles of natural rights and limited government. Yeah, nature was created, by the way. Natural rights and limited government as embodied in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. This is the founder's opinion. The most successful way of doing this is by relating either the constitutional safeguard and or violation thereof relating to current events. And I agree with him. Can I tell you, that's what we want to do. And sometimes we get slack. Sometimes I will tell you today, I was so overwhelmed with information, all bad news, that I really got a little goofy. I went out and talked to a pastor friend of mine who was out in front of my house today. And I told him, I still haven't locked down what I'm going to talk about. It is so insane. We're going through such a weird, surreal time. We're at a juncture in life that this is just mind-boggling. So I really didn't know exactly how to approach this today. The visionary here went on and continued at this. Hold on, I got to turn that off. I got to turn that off while I'm on the radio. Notwithstanding the fact that the Department of Health and the Social Security Administration are conspicuously absent in the enumerated powers with Article 1, Section 8 of the Federal Constitution. So I guess one of the things is that we want to do here is when the issues do come up, we have to say, by what authority? And people say, oh, it doesn't matter. We've got a bad thing. And somebody who's got the microphone and an incredibly strong military is got some ideas that can solve our problems. So we're just going to go with it. No, you don't. Here's another thing that hit me, and we're going to be taking a break, and I'm going to try to come back with something substantive. But it occurred to me today, it is worldview. Do you just because you make up all kinds of problems? You have got endless opportunities to have a sky is falling. Everything is an excuse to intervene with government power and a broad sweeping scale, take over everybody's lives in the country, make them be controlled by a bureaucracy, because there are things that go wrong. In the good old days, when somebody did wrong, you held them accountable. Every man was accountable in the good old days to Almighty God. And when he violated the laws of God and the laws of nature, which are the laws of God, Then it intruded and imposed on somebody else in public, it actually offended and injured somebody, you held that person accountable. You don't turn on a big bureaucracy to make sure nobody has some democratically determined more pay to excess compared to somebody else. If the person does wrong and it hurts somebody else, you hold them accountable under the law. If they're not violating law, if what they're doing is right, leave them alone. We're going to come back. Keep tuning in the Eagle 104.3 FM.